Walk in the light of the Lord. The haughty man is the Lord and to the glory of God. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light of the Lord. The pride of man is humbled, arrogance abased, for the Lord alone will be exalted in that day, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua is the Lord unto the glory of God. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light of the Lord. We're gonna walk.
Gonna walk.
Walk in the light.
Walk in the light.
We're gonna walk, walk, walk.
Gonna walk.
Walk in the light. Let us walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light of the Lord. We're gonna walk in the light of the Lord. Come on, walk in the light of the Lord. Yishlach Adonai, Yishlach Adonai Mitzion. Mateu Zecha, Yishlach Adonai, Yishlach Adonai Mitzion. Rede Bekerem Oyvecha Rede Bekerem Oyvecha
You will reign in the midst. power and praise. You are
glorious, O God. Glorious, O God. Glorious in all of your ways.
And you are holy.
There is none like you.
You are worthy
of more than I could ever do.
And your glory,
it fills the universe.
And yet you have conceived.
On minimum, but the piano is super loud. Well, the volume's at the very, very bottom. Should I turn? I think I should turn up the master volume. It's loud, but at least it's not any louder now that I turned the volume up. It was the same volume whether the volume was on minimum or maximum. Okay. But I'll just leave it at maximum so that way you guys can control it.
Thank you. ready? Okay, Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
We've survived the snowstorm, and now the sun's shining, so we're all going to go swimming after we get through Shabbat service. It's going to be that hot, we're going to go swimming. It's been a strange morning. I got up at 4 a.m., and it was like a blizzard outside, and now the sun's shining, and there's not a lot of snow out there, so it's been, because I talked with Carol, and we were wondering, well, are we going to be able to have Shabbat 2 days, miss Shabbat two Saturdays in a row? No, God made the sun come out, and we're in good shape this morning. So, welcome. We got a little abbreviated service this morning because of the weather and whatever. But Rabbi and Rabbitson will be back next week. So just hang with them. They're doing some things that are very important. So ask for your prayers and help them as they go forward. So we're going to start. We'll have a little different service. We'll have the Torah at the end, and then we'll do. The table of the Lord will be at the end, so it'll be a little different. But we have Mary here to lead us with the music, and that's about as good as we can get. We get Mary out there, so okay. So we're going to start this morning. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, Shabbat, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom,
hey,
Shabbat Shalom,
hey,
Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Kumi ori vivachodes bo Adonai alaik zarak. 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 Rise and shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord will shine upon you. Rise and shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord will shine upon you. Rise and shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord will shine upon you. Rise and shine, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord will shine upon you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. The blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natanu derech hayashiah mamashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Pray for Jerusalem. That's a song. Okay.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them, the lover. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace no more. For God will bless them, the lover. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we pray for Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you,
Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you.
Shalom Aleichem.
Peace be unto you.
Shalom Aleichem.
These words we pray for you.
Shalom Aleichem.
Now we'll pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Shabbat today, Lord, that you've given us. We pray that it'll be a glorious day, a great day that people will turn to your Son, Yeshua, and will change their lives and their hearts and live for him. We ask that you bless the land of Israel. Protect those, Lord, who continuously want to destroy the land of Israel. And we'll talk a little bit about that this morning, Lord, as we restore the study of the Torah, as they go into leaving the Egyptian property and the Egyptian country and heading to Israel today. Lord, we just pray and ask that you bless all the rabbis, the rebbetzin, the song leaders, the people involved in all the services, Lord, today. Bless them. Give their offerings a great boost, Lord. Help us to hear in this congregation that we need help, Lord, with some things here that's in our congregation that needs to be addressed and fixed. So we pray that you can help us with that. But Lord, we just pray this morning especially for the land of Israel, that you'll bless and protect those, bring them to the Yeshua, so because the days are getting darker and they're getting in a time that the Son of God is definitely on the horizon, who's going to come. He doesn't know the day nor the hour. It's just like the wedding. He doesn't know when the groom's going to be asked to leave the room and come to his bride, but we know that one day God is going to tell Yeshua to go and get his people from this land here. So we must be prepared. So this morning, Lord, we ask that you will bless us. Those that are sick, I ask that you bless and touch them today, Lord, and heal each and every one, Lord. Bless our service today, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Avinu, Malkeinu, maker of all things, ruling o'er the work of your hands. You loved us so, you sent your Son to take our sin and shame. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Avinu, Malkeinu, maker of all things, ruling o'er the work of your hand. You loved us so, you sent your Son to take our sin and shame. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name.
Y'all rise, please, for the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malhuto Leoam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen. Thank you all. do you want to do? You're not going to do Etzkaim, are you? We don't have to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't have to. Yeah. We're just going to the. Okay. We're going to do the announcements this morning. Let me get everything out of the way here. Okay. We have the Aliyah Now initiative. It's returning Jewish families back to Israel, and I believe it's $150. Is it 100? It's $1,500. I'm sorry, $1,500 to relocate a Jewish family back to the land of Israel. So we've got that ministry going. It'd be great if you want to contribute to that. We've sent a couple of families back, and I think we have one now that we're getting ready to go. Okay, and then let's see what else we've got here this morning. We've got the biggest thing probably is we have the Messianic Prophecy Conference. That's June the 12th and the 13th at the Kingsport, Tennessee Marriott Meadowview Conference Center. And that is going to, Rabbi Joe is going to be the host of that. And we're going to have Jonathan Kahn. It's going to be one of the guest speakers. And Jonathan Burness is another guest speaker. And we're going to have Coley Codd from Houston, Texas, will lead the worship and the dance. And then we have Marty Goetz and his daughter, Misha Goetz, will be serving and will be leading the worship service. So that should be something that's going to be very interesting because they sound great by themselves, but you put them both together and you've got quite a opportunity to worship the Lord because their music is just, it's very heavenly. There's no way to describe it. We have the Flower Garden. That's the women's discipleship that Rebbe Sandon is heading up. So if you need to find the times, I think the ladies are having a good time. It's just for the ladies. You can contact us here, and we will get back with you and let Dawn know, and you all can connect with her. Let's see. We got a couple more things here. Sure, things sort of covered up, but I've got them here. Let's see here. Rabbi Joe has his his ministry on television, Living Faith, Channel 8, Bible Prophecy Now. And that is it's weekly on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. and on Thursdays at 7 p.m. So we've been passing out these little cards to remind you. Maybe you get one. They got a little scan line on them. I forget what those things are called, but you can go in and you can find them online, or if you got television and cable, you can find them on Channel 8, and that is on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Bible Prophecy Now with Rabbi Joseph Bell. So that's great. If you turn in, he will tell you a lot about the prophecies. God has given him a great gift of prophecy and understanding it and being able to convey it to people out there. So it's a great opportunity to learn something a little extra about God's word. So I don't believe we have any more announcements. I don't see anything else. That's about it. So we will, let's see, what's our next thing here? That's announcements, offering. I got my things covered up here, sorry. We'll take up the offering this morning. And you can, if you're online, you can donate online. There's a way to do that. Will help us. And if you want to be a part of us, let us know. And we invite you to come and be a part of the congregation. We're available. And so we're open every Saturday. So you don't have to worry about, are they open on Saturday? We're here, rain, shine, sleet, or snow. But last week we did, unfortunately, have to miss the Shabbat because of the weather. But I'm sure God had something else in plan for us that day. So we're here today to worship the Lord. So we're going to take up our tithes and offering, and I'll just pray for them, and then you can bring your tithes and offerings here in the building, or you can do it online. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we can bring our tithes and offerings to you, Lord. We ask today that you will bless gift and giver, Lord, that you will give us a good measure, pressed down, and may it be shaken together, Lord, that you will bless us as we return to your storehouse what you have blessed us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you a hope and a future, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." And then I was also thinking of Psalm 37:4, which says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart."
Here I am, waiting once again on my knees, listening and then in a moment a voice so clear speaks in a whisper the words I need to hear. I know the plans I have for you, you're always on my mind. And all the thoughts I think toward you are lovingly designed to bring you through and give to you a future and a hope. They're for your peace, they're for your good, the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you, you're always on my mind. And all the thoughts I think toward you are lovingly designed to bring you through and give to you a future and a hope. They're for your peace, they're for your good, the plans I have for you. Oh, there is no one like you. Still, sometimes I need you to remind me. And every time you do, you say, "Seek me, you will find me." I know the plans I have for you, you're always on my mind. And all the thoughts I think toward you are lovingly designed to bring you through and give to you a future and a hope. They're for your peace, they're for your good, the plans I have for you, the plans I have for you.
Thank you. I don't know if I mentioned, but we're going to do the Shell Canal and I. We'll do that at the end of the service today, and then we're going to start our worship service to now with Mary. Okay. Thank you, Mary.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Make a joyful noise, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, clap your hands. Come into his presence, sing. He is our maker and our king. Make a joyful noise, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness, clap your hands. Come into his presence, sing. He is our maker and our king. So enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. For the Lord is able to be faithful through all our generations, to be faithful through all our situations, to be faithful through all our generations. Know ye the Lord, he is good. It is he made us, no man could. He is the shepherd we sheep. I know the Lord watches over me. So enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. For the Lord mission to be faithful through all our situation, to be faithful through all our generation. So enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise, for the Lord he is able to be faithful through all our generation, to be faithful through all our situation, to be faithful through all our generation. Hey. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O God Most High, to proclaim your love and faithfulness all the day and through the night. La la la, 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 la la. Make me glad by your deeds, O Lord, so I sing for joy at all your hands I've made. How great are your works, O Lord, Elim Baruch Hashem. La la la, 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 la la. May I dwell in your courts, O Lord, there to flourish like the trees of Lebanon, planted in the house of Adonai, there to live forevermore. La la la, 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 la la. La la la, 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 la la. The Lord is my light and my salvation, why should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation, why should I be afraid? Oh, 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 oh. My strength and my strong tower, why should I be afraid? Oh, the Lord is my strength and my strong tower, why should I be afraid? Oh, 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 oh. His sanctuary in the day of war, and I will stand and see the victory, for the battle is the Lord's. Whoa, 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 whoa. The Lord is my help in time of trouble, why should I be afraid? Oh, the Lord is my help in time of trouble, why should I be afraid? Whoa, 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 whoa. And I will stand and see the victory, for the battle is the Lord's. Whoa, 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 whoa. And high above my enemy, I'll stand and shout the victory. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? Lord of eternity, mystery behind the veil, Lord over heaven and earth, God of Israel. Come with your wisdom and power, clothed with your honor and strength. Lord, hear the cry of our heart, come, O conquering King. And every eye will see your glory fill the sky. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Adonai, Adonai, Jerusalem waits, praises lifted on high. Hear the beautiful gates, long to see you arise, arise. When all of Zion sings, Baruch Haba B'Shem. When all of Zion sings, Baruch Haba B'Shem. Thank you.
have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stick close to you. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stick close to you. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. In the dry and weary land, my soul thirsts for you. 'Cause I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the night. Because, Lord, you are my help. I'll sing in the shadow of your wing. 'Cause I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. 'Cause I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. Lord, my soul is satisfied as with the richest of food. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. 'Cause I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. And I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. Holy unto you. Holy unto you. Hear this humble prayer. Make me holy unto you. Kadosh, kadosh lacha. Kadosh, kadosh lacha. Hear this humble prayer. Make me kadosh, kadosh lacha. Lord, I come to you with a humble heart, seeking more of you, wanting less of me, wanting more of you. From my deepest part, God of mercy, hear. Comes an urgent prayer that my heart's desire is to draw you near. Holy unto you, holy unto you. Hear this humble prayer, make me holy unto you. Kadosh, kadosh lacha. Kadosh, kadosh lacha. Hear this humble prayer. Make me kadosh, kadosh lacha.
I give myself to you on the altar lay. Spirit, come and fill so I can more follow and obey. Let your light more shine in this wounded heart. Clean and purify so you can more of yourself impart. Holy unto you, holy unto you. Hear this humble prayer and make me holy unto you. Kadosh, kadosh lacha, kadosh, kadosh lacha. Hear this humble prayer, make me kadosh, kadosh lacha.
Thank you, Mary. That was great. As always, she does a great job. We certainly appreciate her this morning for being here in the storm and the snow and all that. Okay, we're going to start with the message today. Let me make sure I got everything here. I think I do. It's not going to be a great big long message, but it's God's Word, and we'll pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word today, Lord. We pray this morning, Lord, as it comes from me, from you to me, Lord, that people will be touched, they will be blessed, their lives will be improved because of the Word of God. And may that always be a forefront of everything we do. We start our day, we close our day, we need to do it with the Word of God as we wake up and as we go to bed. May we always have the Word of God as we wake and go to sleep to keep us and guide us, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. Okay, this morning the Torah portion is Yitro, which is Jethro. It's from Exodus chapter 18 through chapter 20, verse 23. And the half Torah is Isaiah chapter 16, 1 through 7. It's interesting that this Torah Drosh is called Yitro. Normally it follows the first few lines of the Parsha, but today we see that it has a gentleman's name. What makes it so interesting is the fact that he was a Midian priest. He did not know God. He was a non-believer. He worshipped idols. He was not a believer, but God chose him to name this Parsha today Yitro after this gentleman. Most unusual. God has a unique way of doing things, is to catch our attention. Of course, Yitro wasn't Jewish. He was Midianite. And so we see today that God has put that out there for us to read that and to see what is going on in this particular Parsha today. You know, We have the Torah, and it's special. It needs special attention, God's Word. And how did God come up with Yitro or Jethro? You see, Moses was a chosen vessel by God to lead the Israelites from the land of Egypt. In land of Egypt, Egypt means misery. And they have been in misery for many years. There's a lot of discussion about how many years did the Israelites actually occupy the land of Egypt. Some scholars say, well, it actually started back with Abraham when he went to Egypt and took Sarah down there. And God said, you know, the day is coming when you will be banished to a foreign country, which ended up being the land of Egypt. And there you will dwell for 430 years. But I will bring you out. But did they actually stay that long? Well, God, I believe a lot of people would say that they started when Abraham actually went down there, and him and his nephew Lot's, and they went down there with Sarah, and they caused a lot of problems with Sarah because Abraham had told Pharaoh that she was his sister and not his wife. And so when that happened, God began to cause disturbances, and Pharaoh knew something was not right with this Hebrew woman, and come to find out it was Abraham's wife, Sarah. And so he says, please leave, because she's destroying everything. Your God is destroying everything. He's giving us trouble. So please, please leave the land. And here's some things for you to go. And here's a woman you can take with you. And so they did. They took her. And so that's where we're at today. It's because of that. It's because of the Egyptian woman that was given as a gift, Hagar. And so we are here. And so Moses' brother-in-law was one of the people that was an influencer of Pharaoh. He was an advisor of Pharaoh. But he left the land of Egypt when Pharaoh began to kill the little Hebrew children that were little boys, because he became very afraid that the land of Egypt was becoming overrun by the people from the land of Israel. There was a great number, and God blessed everything that the Israelites did in the land of Egypt. They were under bondage, under anti-Semitism, some of the worst in the world. But that's something that we'll see as we go forward with the Torah of what that actually brings to the Jewish people. But so God sent them away. He came with the outstretched arm and a mighty hand, and they were released from the land of Egypt. But Jethro had left and was no longer involved with Pharaoh, and he moved away. And that's where we see that Moses fled after he killed an Egyptian. He fled, and there he got married, had some kids, and Yitro was his father-in-law. And so they had left Egypt, and Moses was leading the Jewish people. And, you know, but what was so interesting was that you have like over 200 million people. Can you imagine one guy, Moses, trying to coordinate and resolve and lead and guide and move forward 2 million people? It's hard to get one or two people to do that, let alone 2 million. But he was struggling with it. He didn't have time to see what God wanted for trying to take care of squabbles, or take care of this, or somebody's cow got over on somebody near somebody's tent. So it was a lot of squabbling and stuff. There wasn't a harmonious type of an atmosphere to have that many people clumped together trying to move and to eat and to be, you know, and to find water and all the animals that they brought. And so Jethro is observing Moses, and so he makes a statement. He gives some advice, and I think it was a heavenly statement that he gives to Moses. He says, pick honorable people from among you and establish a system that they will, when people have squabbles, they would go to these people rather than come to you. Can you imagine what the line at his tent was like every day with Moses, with 2.5 million people with problems standing in line to talk with him? It's worse than a blue light special or whatever, some of these stores. I mean, can you imagine 2.5 million people trying to get a hold of Moses at one time? Because there was a squabble. It was unbelievable. And so he says, let these people be your judges. You pick them, honorable people, and let them be the ones that will work with the Israelites, your followers, your mishpachah, and let these judges be the ones that will establish what needs to take place and help. And if there's something great enough, They will bring it to you, and you can make the decision. So it was a heavenly experience for him to bring that up, and Moses accepted that, and he chose the judges, and he put them out there, and that way Moses had more time to be an intercessor to God, because a lot of his time was taken up talking with God and praying and seeking God. After all, you had 2.5 million people that you had to move. They didn't move every day, but they moved. And can you imagine how long the line was, all those people moving in the desert? It was unbelievable. And so we come up to this. They had journeyed 49 days up to Mount Sinai or Sinai. there in the Arabian Desert. And so that's where God decides he's going to give them the Matan Torah, the Torah that was going to be given there in the desert to the Jewish people. It wasn't a historical event. It was a heavenly event because God came down in the physical sense to mankind there at Mount Sinai. Several years ago, some archaeologists was able to go up to Mount Sinai. And the top of that enormous mountain is very black and glassy looking because of what when God came down with his glory and the fire and the brimstone and all that, it cooked the mountain and it became very glassy looking as it melted. And that's still there today. Of course, the Arabian government won't let you go up there and look at it, but they were able many years ago before they didn't want people to go hog and do archaeological investigations on that. But you could go to the top of that and you could see where the glory of God came down and he burnt the mountain. It's unbelievable. And that people say, well, I don't know if the Bible's true. Well, I think that proves, that's one point you can prove. And they found the golden chariots in the river where they crossed over the Red Sea. They found those because the gold wasn't corrupted by the seawater and the other things in the sea. So parts of those chariots are still there. You know, they just didn't all of a sudden appear. Things just don't appear. But God destroyed the army of Pharaoh. But God, that's why God did not slay Pharaoh as the firstborn son, because he wanted him to see the power and the glory of the God of Israel. That's why he left him alive to see the great wall of water. And then as he chased the Israelites into that, and then Moses put his staff down and the water began to recede. And there was no way for Pharaoh to get away. He died. But he saw the God of Israel that he did not respect. He didn't, because the first thing he said to Moses is, I'm a God, but I don't know your God. We've never been introduced. But he found out after all the plagues and the things that happened, he began to understand there is a true God, and it was the God of Israel. And his life took him there. And so God brings the Torah to there. You know, that's where Moses went up and he got the Torah. But a lot of people say, well, why did he write it down? You have to understand when he went up there, if you read some of the ancient writings, God spoke the Aswad Hadi broke the 10 utterances. God spoke them all in one breath. Now, can you imagine trying to decipher that? And I would imagine, it doesn't say that, but I would imagine Moses said, I need some help, Heavenly Father. You need to break it down a little bit so I can disseminate it to the people. So he wrote it down. What a novelty thing. Write it down if you're not sure. Because my memory, if I don't write it down, I won't remember it in 5 minutes, believe me. But he wrote it down for him, and people say, and he wrote it left, right to left. That's the way they wrote it. And you could see the Torah, the ten commandments, you could see them from either side. It was, what do they call it, lucent or whatever. You could see the Torah from the back, the words from the back or the front. It was very open, and they could see it. It came from God carved that out of the footstool of heaven. It was very beautiful green color that it became. And so God gives him. And so God, as he's getting ready to give him the Torah, God says, I'm going to come in 3 days. You know, that's what God has told us today. His son is going to come back. We don't know when, but God gave them a direct understanding that in 3 days, I'm going to come, and I'm going to come to the mountain. And you're not to touch the mountain. Do not let any animal or anything touch the mountain. Reading a lot of ancient writings, they said when God came, the whole earth stopped. Nothing moved. The birds quit singing. The water quit running. Everything stopped because God came down to man there at Mount Sinai. And he gave the Torah there to the Jewish people. And so that was quite an occurrence. But he said, clean. Take a bath, put on some clean clothes. I want you to look your best when I come down and I meet you, and I want to give you this book, the words of God. And, you know, that's one of the things that has brought anti-Semitism to such a level as we see it today, was because that the Jewish people accepted the Matan Torah. They accepted the yoke, if you want to call that. They accepted the Torah in the words of God that they would take to the ends of the earth. And that's what has happened. We wouldn't have a Bible today if it would not been for the Shavuot, when they went 50 days and they celebrated the receiving of the Torah. We wouldn't have the Word of God today like it is. But God brought it down, and in doing so, the Israelites accepted that responsibility of taking ownership of the Torah and taking God's Word to the ends of the earth. That's why anti-Semitism is so prevalent today. It's because of God's Word. That Satan and his followers and half, it seemed like the whole world is on a roll to go to hell. It seems like everybody is on a roll. They could care less about God. But that's why the people hate the Jewish. Because a guy asked me, he said, why do people hate the Jews so bad? I said, well, the first thing is they were chosen by God. And I think, but the biggest thing is, was the Word of God. They accepted God's Word to spread around the world. And in doing so, these people don't like it. They think if they can destroy the Jewish people, they can destroy God and get rid of His Word. That's what they really think. They think if we can get rid of the Jewish people and get them off the face of the earth, then God will go away and we can do whatever we want to. We won't have to worry about this moral law that God has created out there that you need to live by. The 613 mitzvahs that God created, and His Word gives you an understanding of how to live your life. Now, some of them are just for women, some of them are just for men, but they're still God's Word, and they will stay there forever. They're never, God's Word isn't going away. That's why it's not good to change God's Word to what we want. It needs to stay just like it is. God said it's not right to change my word or to want to part my land. Do not move God's land to under some jurisdiction of someone else. So God is there, and they accept the Torah. And we see that God is saying they became owners of the Torah. They worship God. And they began to understand God's words as Moses began to teach them. And I believe Aaron was involved in that also. And we see that in Isaiah 5:20, we say the woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's a big word today in today's world. Most of the world thinks that evil is good and good is evil. It's gone to every part of the world today. Even with the Super Bowl thing that's coming up, there's a big discussion of how to have a entertainment at, what is it, a halftime? They're going to do an entertainment that people are upset about. But people, you know, people anymore, they sort of get to the point. They're not afraid of God. They don't care to invoke God's wrath. They don't care to bring an abomination in front of God. They don't mind that at all, because a lot of these people that you see on the news and on television and videos or whatever, movies, they have sold their souls to Satan. And they'll tell you that. If you want to hear an interesting story, listen to Bob Dylan's story about selling his soul to Satan. He wasn't doing pretty good in the music industry, but when he sold his soul to Satan, he became, I'm going to say, a superstar. Made a lot of money. He's a believer in Yeshua now, but he had to go through the devil to get, you know, to where he's at today. But Satan, bless his, a lot of those people that are out there and people follow them, they worship them, they want to follow what they do. They, you know, they're involved. They've sold out to Satan. That's how they get to be so wealthy. That's how they get to be overnight on every headline and TV and phone or whatever you've got, tablet. They become so famous overnight. It's because they are following Satan. And you know, the scripture tells us he controls certain parts of the world. So That's why he's able to do that. And there's people that substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Most of those people that worship and follow Satan live in a very dark and dismal world. There's no light there. There's no joy other than Satan. And the day's coming when he's going to claim those that are following him. There's nothing better for the soul than God's word. It's the thing to have, God's word, to be that way. We're moving farther and farther from God. But as we move farther from the things of God, we realize God is moving closer to us. As the world moves farther away, believers move closer, and God is moving closer. And so at Mount Sinai, or Mount Sinai is actually in Hebrew, it is the ultimate meeting between God and man. I don't know that, and when I say God and man, I'm talking about all of the Israelites that came out of Egypt. It was more than just Moses to God. This was God to all mankind. And so they are. And so God descends with fire and lightning and smoke, and the great shofar begins to blast, and the people begin to fall on their knees and begin to worship God. That would be, if you have heart trouble, that would probably not have been a good place. Maybe you should have been, or maybe it would have healed you, but I can imagine that had to be quite a scene to see the presence of God come down in a bodily form to Mount Sinai. And so all of this impacts our lives spiritually and physically. We are all equal of our religious faith and knowledge. Should be embedded with the words of God. And what was the revelation of Mount Sinai? What was it about? It was the revelation of God's word. And God gave the people there the ten utterances, as they're referenced in the scriptures. The Asarat HaDib wrote the 10 words that God gave to Moses. And the first one was, I am the Lord your God. There is no other God before me. That was the second one. No other gods are before me. I am the only God. Do not take God's name in vain. Honor God. Remember the Shabbat. It means, in Hebrew, it means the core. It means to remember the Shabbat. Don't ever forget the Shabbat. A lot of people think it's crazy because Saturday's a big day that people do whatever they do. But so Shabbat is on Saturday, and that's God's day. You miss out when you don't observe the Shabbat. It's a heavenly experience. It's a chance to be blessed when you come to the Shabbat service. And God says, honor your father and your mother. One other thing about the Shabbat, God says, keep it holy. That means keep God first in your life and first on the when you come to Shabbat. Don't forget to put God first. Don't leave God here in the pew when you leave. Take him with you. Take God with you. Have him with you always. Honor your father and your mother. It's the only one in the Ten Commandments that you get a blessing. God says if you honor your father and your mother, your days will be increased upon this earth. You will live longer if you honor your father and your mother. Now, that doesn't mean you always agree with mom and dad. That doesn't always mean that you like their political whatever, you don't like the car they drive, but it says honor them. Have a meal for them. Let them sit at the head of the table. You know, honor them. Give them a chair. Get up and let them come and get them a chair and sit down. Give them the nicest chair you have in your home. But it says honor your father and your mother. And when you do that, God takes note, and he's going to bless you. He's going to increase the number of days that you're going to live on the earth because you're honoring God by honoring your parents. Not always agree with them, but you honor them and respect what they say, and you respect what they tell you, that they're your parents. You shall not make graven images. Oh, I'm sorry. You shall not murder. Do not commit murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness, and do not covet. And you see, when you look at the Torah, these Ten Commandments or utterances are the 613 mitzvahs that are in the scriptures, they are in within these 10 utterances that God spoke. Those mitzvahs are all included in this 10 words that God, the 10 utterances. They were more than just words, they were utterances that God spoke. And so the mitzvahs are all included in those 10. God has built that around all of his other things. And so they got the Torah. And there's five passages that relate to that. God made this world that we live in, and he made it so that we would work with him and make it a better place to live. If we all could do that and respect people, the world would be a whole different place. I was reading some things about the Holocaust that was last week, Holocaust Remembrance, and I was thinking about all those people that died, the millions of people that died. And somebody had put a little note out there, and it said, if you could hold your breath for 1 minute for every one of the ones that had died in the Holocaust, you wouldn't draw another breath for 11 and a half years. That's how many people died in the Holocaust. And people say, well, it'll never happen again. Well, I wouldn't put any money on that, because they'd like to do it right now. They're just trying to get to that point. They want to destroy the Jewish people. And it just depends on how you want to. Holocaust in Hebrew means to burn. It means burning. That's what it is. And that's what they did. They would desecrate the bodies. They would rob the bodies. And then they would burn the bodies and throw their bones into a pit or something that they would dig. And they're still finding bodies over in Poland, those places. They've never, every time they do something, they find bones from bodies and stuff. So it's still there. It's quite an ordeal to think about that happened. And a lot of people say, well, it never happened. Well, they need to go to those concentration camps and talk to some of those survivors that are out there. My mother-in-law was one. So, it can still happen, I guess, is what's so bad about it. But a lot of people think it didn't happen, or it's never going to happen again if it did happen. But believe me, God, it can happen again. And how did it happen? When this was happening on the United States was involved, getting ready to go into battle, it's because no one was willing to speak out. Silence is horrible. Silence is a killer. No one ever spoke out. The United States turned several ships of Jewish people away from the United States and sent them back to Germany. And they died. They were killed in the Holocaust. But the United States turned their back from those people on those ships, and they sent them back. They tried several countries, and no one would take the Jewish people on those ships. So they sent them back to Germany, wherever they were at, where they came from, and they died a horrible death. Men, women, children. It was horrible. And so we some passages today is Exodus 13, chapter 13, verse 16, and chapter 34, verse 22. Levi 23, verses 15 and 21. Let's see, Numbers chapter 28, verses 26. Deuteronomy 16, verses 9 through 12. You see, when Shavuot came, that was a grain time of grain, the harvesting of the grain. And so we see, you know, that's what God's word says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. And so that's when the word of God came on Shavuot from God himself to the Jewish people. And it was at a time of the wheat harvest occurred with Shavuot. So you can see the connection between the bread and the grain and God's word. God's word says, you shall not live by bread alone, but you shall live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And God will bless that. God is, and you know, as I said before, the Torah is not a historical event. It is a spiritual, it is a heavenly event. And every day we must find that the Torah, and God said in his word, he says, on this day I give you the Torah on this day. And God is telling us on this day means that we are to embrace the Torah every day. This day means every day in God's wording. He wants us to be aware of that. He gave us the Torah on this day, but that means every day is God's word. So every day we must find the Torah. We must feed upon the Torah as God has given us the Torah on that day. So let's remember that each day is a new day to serve God, to do the things to make the world a little better if we can, to witness to people. You know, the greatest witness I think a lot of people have is just the way they walk and talk. That's how a lot of people view you. They know more about how you act maybe than what you say. And sometimes just presenting yourself in that acceptable way, a lot of people can become believers because of that. And then you can witness to them. But I think the way we walk, what do they call it? What is that? Walking the talk and talking the walk, whatever it says, whatever that little cliche is. But that's a lot of people see that and they know the kind of person that you are. They know what your walk and what your talk is all about. So that's the way God, and we went on to just talk a little bit about the wedding. When they went to the Matan Torah just to close this morning, it was the wedding, the marriage of the Jewish people when they accepted the Torah. It was a wedding. It was a wedding, really. They accepted God. And there's 12 steps to marriage, and these are Jewish steps. You know, the father picks the bride, and then there's a redemptive price that is paid for the bride, a dowry that is given. The son writes the ketubah. That's the wedding. That's the contract of the wedding. The son writes that to his wife, the marriage contract, and the bride must be willing to accept the conditions of the contract. It's a covenant. It's a covenant. And so she must be willing to accept that. Now, it's not two men getting married, okay? And it's not two women. It's not two women getting married. Because God made the earth and the animals and the humans to procreate. You can't do it. Two men can't do it. Two women can't do it. And that's just the way God planned it. God is in. If you look at the Hebrew letters for Ish and Isha, you're going to see that God, Yah, is in the middle of that of those two words. And when you move God out, you have the Hebrew word Ish. And Ish means fire. And that's, if you don't have God in your wedding, in your life, then you're going to deal with a lot of fire in your life, a lot of misery and fire. And so the covenant is presented, and then they go through a mikvah, which is a cleansing, a baptism, if you want to call it that, a mikvah. Then a symbolic gift is given, and then the groom must go to the wedding place. It's just like the way God has staged for Yeshua to come. He's waiting for God to come and say, go get your bride. That's the Jewish wedding. The groom doesn't see the bride until his father comes and says, you can go and get your bride and be married. That depicts the arrangement between God and the believers. God is going to make the decision when Yeshua will come, and so he waits. He waits until God makes the move and says, you can go. And so they wait. And so the bridegroom, God, the father will come and say, you can go get married. And so the bridegroom will go and enter in with his bride. And the couple will enter into a covenant. And they will get under the big hoopah that's there. We've got one back here. And so the marriage is consummated. It becomes together. That's the marriage of the supper of the Lamb and us today. And so that is the wonderful part of that. So that is the Torah for the message for this morning. And then we're going to do the Shelkanah and I, the table of the Lord. If you will bear with me just a moment here, let me get some things around here. We're going to do that, and then I will bless you, and then you can be able to leave. What I'll do, I think this morning, I'll just serve everybody, but I'll say the blessing. And if you're here or if you're on your computer, phone, whatever you got, if you're not a believer, if you haven't met Yeshua, then you're missing one of the greatest things in your life that will ever happen is meeting the Son of God. And He wants to meet you. So if you're lost, remember, you can be found. You're not really lost. God knows where you're at. You can get to the lowest parts of the earth, and God still knows where you're at. It's like people say, well, the lost tribes. The tribes aren't lost. God knows exactly where they're at. So they're not really lost. It's just a word that people would say that they're lost, but they're not lost. God knows where they are at, and at the proper time, they will be reunited back in Israel. And so on that Passover, it was a different Passover. It was a Passover that Yeshua presided on as He went to the cross to be crucified. So it was important that what He said on that Pesach, on that Passover supper that He presided on, because after the meal was over, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. The soldiers came and took Him, and then He eventually went on to death. And so he took the drink, and He said, this represents the blood from My body. This represents healing. This represents salvation and redemption for the atonement of your sins. They'd never heard it before. They thought it was just drink, but it represented the blood, the shedding of His blood, because the Torah tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And God says you have to use an animal that is pure, that is sinless, that is a holy, if you want to say holy. It's an animal that is pure, it's sinless. It's not done anything wrong. That means the innocent, someone innocent must die for the guilty. And so He took the cup and He blessed it. And He said, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are You, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. He took the bread and He broke it. And He said, this is My body, which will be broken for you. And His body was beaten and scourged. We can't even imagine what His body looked like. The people that knew Yeshua probably didn't know who He was when they saw Him on the cross, because He was just so, His body was just so destroyed. And that's the way Satan operated. But he thought if he died, then this salvation thing would go away. But it didn't, because He came out of the grave. If He hadn't come out of the grave, then it would be a different story today. But He came from the grave. And so He took the bread and He blessed it. And He said, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are You, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And Yeshua is the bread of life. So I will just bring this around, if you'll bear with me a moment, and then we will partake of it. So give me a moment here.
There.
of our distress, we will look to thee, for thou art almighty God. We put our hope in thee. Power and strength are in thy hands, O Lord. Who can stand against thee? Should evil come against us, you are there. You are there. You are there, O Lord. God of our fathers, ruler of the heaven, King over all the earth, Almighty God. Power and strength are in thy hands, O Lord. Who can stand against thee? Should evil come against us, you are there. You are there. You are there, O Lord.
Everyone has a great afternoon. The sun's out and it's not snowing, so that's a plus. God has blessed us on this Shabbat. Didn't look too good this morning. I looked out the window, but now it looks pretty good. So we'll take it. We'll enjoy it. Spring and Passover's around the corner, so we're waiting for those. So if y'all arise, I'll give you the blessing. Come in, blessing. You know, and God spoke to Moses, and he said, this is how I want you to instruct Aaron when to bless my people when they come before me. And so this is what God asked Moses to give to Aaron. It's called the Aaronic Benediction. Ivarek Adonai Vishmareka. Yor Adonai Panabaleka Vikunika. Isa Adonai, Panabaleka, Vayasimlaka, Shalom. Lord, bless and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, and that passes all understanding, the shalom of God. Have a great day in Yeshua today. Shabbat shalom.